Lord, as we stand before you, we thank you that you fill us with your Spirit, that you give us grace, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would draw us deeper and deeper into the wonder, the mystery, and the love of God. As you search the depths of the heart of God, and that you come into our hearts, we pray that you would flood our hearts with that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We've got our readings now. So.
Morena, everyone, Ata Marie. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 44, beginning at verse 6. This is what the Lord says: Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wārua ki te hāhi. Thanks. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and verses 36 to 43. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." The parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tene arte karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemi titia e te kupu.
All right. Just swap Bibles, because obviously mine's the real Bible. It's actually just got all my scribbles in it, so that's fun. Another gardening kind of parable. Does anyone do weeding in the garden? Anyone like weeding? Anyone hate weeding? I haven't actually really like it. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I am crap at gardening. All right, I am just completely useless. Not a green finger or thumb in my body. But I feel like I can weed, as long as you tell me which ones the weeds are. Otherwise, I do end up getting a bit over enthusiastic and can pull out the wrong thing. But I do enjoy weeding, especially after it's rained, eh? You know, because then they just come out like this, and it's like magic. You're like, oh, it's so satisfying taking out all these like weeds. And then when you've finished, you know, there's always one or two plants that you thought were, you know, looked all right, but suddenly they look really good because all these wrong leaves or whatever are out, and you've got these nice, shiny, clean leaves or whatever. You know, there's the actual plant, and you realize you were looking at several other plants at the same time, kind of thing. I love it. It's really, really satisfying. And there's something about weeding. I just wonder if I actually get a little bit too enthusiastic and a bit like Jesus's parable, you know, I actually want to weed around the place, weed a few people. Let me just pluck that weed out there and I'm not sure about that person, you know. Do any of us enjoy doing that? But, you know, weeding's like that. And sometimes I can get it wrong. Hello. Obviously, that's really obvious, but it's true. And sometimes I make a judgment about a person and I think, they're just an irritating weed and they need to go. And actually, God's doing something in their life, which is going to be true of pretty much everyone in the human race, and I suddenly see it. Have you ever had those moments, you know, where you really like just think someone's, I don't know why this phrase came into my head, a bit of a bad egg. You know, or a real egg. They are that thing. And then suddenly something surprises you, you know, and it surprised me. And I go, they say something and it's totally what I think is out of character because I think they're a real rotter. But they say something compassionate and I'm like, whenever that happens, I'm like, oh no, sorry, Lord. I can see now. I didn't even know I was, really, but I can see now that I was just judging that person. I was just dismissing them. And here I can see something of your compassion, just for a moment there, in that way they treated someone, or that thing they said, or that forgiveness they showed. And it surprises me. Have you ever had that? People can surprise us, can't they? People that we think are one way, we see a glimpse of light. And it's that seed, actually, from last week that has fallen in the soil and it is starting to bear fruit. And we see a bit of that fruit. And I say, oh, no, Lord, sorry that I judged them. So I can be a bit overzealous in my weeding sometimes. But in this parable, Jesus, again, it's another sowy parable. It's got a slightly different take than last week's one where there's good soil and rocky soil and the sower's very liberal. He just doesn't care where it falls. He just wants to give to everyone. This time, it's a different kind of situation. But what it is that the farmers' servants and stuff have sown this field. They've plowed it up. They've made it real nice and sown it all perfectly with a good wheat crop. And then an enemy comes along and sows something else, sows some weeds. Now, what it probably is, the historians tell us, is darnel, is it? Or darnel. I don't know how you say that. Someone gardening-ish correct me. But darnel, or darnel, is a it's a plant that really looks like wheat. So when it comes up, you can't tell the difference to begin with. And it's really nasty. And this, there was actually a Roman law at the time that Jesus was speaking, which forbade people, it outlawed doing this as an act of revenge because people did it. It's what they did. You know, they'd be like really peed off with someone, really annoyed at somebody. And they would just get this thing that looked like wheat and they would sow it in their enemy's field, in their wheat field, and go, you know. And then a few weeks or a month or so later, it would start to come up. And then when you can start to see the ears on the corn, it would be like, uh-oh, someone's done this. Someone's done that nasty thing. And the nasty thing about it was you can't tell to begin with, and then you see your crop being ruined, and you can't weed it out, which is, again, in this parable. So there was a law against it, a Roman law, because people used to do it. And Jesus uses this parable, thing that everyone knew about. Because if you try and pull it out, you know how weeds have these roots and they go out and they spread? Well, they tangle up with the good stuff's roots as well. And you can end up like me if you're not careful, where you pull out a weed and a good thing comes out with it. Mate, I've done that so many times. Grieves my soul. Doesn't really, but I do feel a bit bad. And, you know, you try and stuff the other thing back in and hopefully, it's going to be all right. And half the time it's not, probably. So, yeah. But we can do that, can't we? Jesus says, you know, don't judge lest you be judged. You just don't judge because you can't tell what's you can't tell what's good and what's not. And when you're pulling up what's not or what you think's not, you might be pulling up something good along with it. That's what this parable is saying, eh? Just be careful. And so he says, don't touch it. Don't judge. Do not judge. Not yet. In fact, ever. Not ever. Not even the angels can do any judging right now. But there will come a time where there is a judgment, thankfully. And there will be a time when everything's called to rights and everything's put to rights. Because there are some horrible injustices in the world, aren't there? And if there was no judgment ever, if everything was just like, oh, well, never mind, that appalling, appalling thing happened to that person, but that's all right, we'll just let them off. If that was what the universe was like at the end of the day, there'd be no justice, would there? And it would be an unfair universe that we lived in. But it's not. There will be a judgment, it's just not yet, because right now is mercy. And that's what God, that's all God cares about right now is, you know, Jesus says, at the beginning of all these parables, he says that his disciples are going through the wheat fields and they pluck some wheat up and someone has a go at them. Oi, what are your disciples doing? And he says, have you not read what it says? Go and learn that passage that says, I desire compassion. Not sacrifice, not knowing what's right and wrong and doing the blue, you know. I desire compassion, mercy. That's my heart. And so that's what this parable, I think, is sort of trying to, it fits in with that. In fact, where's my Bible? There's a whole, so you know, I don't know if you know, you probably do, but I really like this. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew gathers all the sayings of Jesus into five main blocks. So if you've got like my Bible, and this isn't it's just a thing, but I didn't kind of choose it, but it came. It's red letter Bible. All of Jesus' words are in red letters. So if you flick through Matthew's gospel in a Bible like that, you can see it really clearly. There's a few scattered sayings here and there, and then there's like five big blocks of Jesus' teaching. And Matthew's done that deliberately to say, here's the new Moses. You know, so the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that they're known as the Pentateuch, penta, meaning five, you know, like a pentagram, Pentateuch. And those five books are the law. You know, the law, there's the law and the prophets, and that's the law. And so this is the new lawgiver. Jesus is, Matthew saying, is the new lawgiver. And these parables about the kingdom and about sowing are in the middle. They're the middle pillar of those five. So there's two blocks either side. And right in the heart of it all is these kingdom passages, kingdom parables, where he talks about sowing seed and stuff. And as I say, it's sort of right near the beginning of them. Jesus says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice when they're plucking that. And then you get that word heart just appearing a few times in the heart of these, you know, teachings. And the word heart crops up first where Jesus says, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil one out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And he says that he's speaking of the heart. For what the mouth speaks comes out of that which fills the heart. So the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. So there's this idea that our hearts are really important. And then we get all these sowy parables, in the middle of which you get another heart thing. And Jesus says that when anyone hears the word, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. So the word of God is that which is sown in our hearts, and out of our hearts come what is either good or what is evil. And Jesus says, you can't tell yet where someone's coming from. You don't know what's going on in their heart. So don't be hasty to judge and weed like Mark is. Don't try and pull that weed out, because it might not be a weed, or it might be attached to something else, or, you know, you might have misseen it. You might think it's darnel because it looks like wheat, but it's actually wheat. You know, you just don't be hasty to judge. I desire mercy, compassion. And most of all, interesting to me, is this word heart, where Jesus says, again in this block of teaching, he says, the Son of Man will be 3 days in the heart of the earth. How cool is that? So Jesus, the Son of Man, he calls himself the Son of Man sometimes, I will be 3 days in the heart of the earth. Talking about his death and his resurrection. And for 3 days, you know, he's in the heart of the earth. And there's something about that that I think is really rich, because it's saying, I've been to the heart of the earth, the heart of this world, the heart of humanity, the very heart, the center. I know what is in, he says, doesn't he, in John's Gospel, I know what is in the heart of human beings. I know what's in their hearts. And the Spirit of God searches our hearts, it says in Corinthians. And Jesus says, I have been to the heart of the earth. I know humanity from the inside out. I know this whole world from the inside out. I live in it. I've lived in it. I've been made of the same stuff that it is all made of, that we are all made of. I've experienced the heart of humanity. And out of that heart, I've brought forth good things. You know, out of the heart comes whatever's in the heart, whether it's good or evil. And Jesus brings life out of the heart of the earth. He goes in, he dies for us, and then he brings life, good things, new life, newness of life for you and me and for the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. But, yeah. So, in connection with all of that, and I'll kind of finish with this. So it's a shorty this morning. You'll be relieved to know. Talking of the heart, talking of not judging and, you know, having compassion and bringing out life. This is a little parable from a chap called Paisios, who lived in Greece. And Rosalind, I don't know if she's here this morning. Is Rosalind sometimes at the back there? No, she's not here this morning. But Rosalind's cousin is Aidan Hart, who, if you watch the coronation of King Charles, you know, there was that moment where he's finally anointed as king. And he's sort of, there's that screen around. Yeah. And that screen was designed by Aidan Hart, by Rosalind's cousin. And he was an artist, wasn't a Christian or anything, was exploring art and was exploring that idea of bringing out from the heart of things, of people or whatever, and trying to display it or explain it on the outside. Do you know what I mean? So that's what his art was trying to do. It was trying to say, this is the essence of this person and I'm trying to describe it to you in my art. Does that make sense? So he's trying to like pull out what the very heart of people and paint it or whatever. And a friend of his was living in Wellington and or visiting in Wellington, and there was this exhibition of icons. Sorry about that. I just had to bring icons into it again. Anyway, but there was an exhibition of icons, and he in the, you know, art gallery or somewhere, and he said, "This is what you've been trying to do the whole time in all your art. It's here. It's been going on for thousands of years. There's a whole history to this. There's a massive fucker-popper to this idea of yours of bringing out what's in the heart and trying to display it on the outside, as it were." So Aidan Hart rushed down and had a look at it and was like, oh, my gosh, this is it. You know, this is trying to... That's what icons are trying to do. They're trying to sort of say, this is what's on... You know, this is what's at the heart of the matter, and they're trying to display it on the outside. And he said, this is what I've been trying to do. And anyway, he became a Christian, and he eventually became a monk. He's not a monk anymore, but and lived on this island in Greece, Mount Athos, for quite a long time in one of the old monasteries there. And while he was there, there was an old man called Paisios, and he said this to him. He said, essentially, that a healthy soul, he said, is like a bee that is drawn to the good, and it will fly over fields of rotting flesh, which is like other people's faults and that sort of thing, but be drawn down to just a few fragrant flowers. It will fly over all of that, you know, poo and whatnot, and it will land on that flower. Whereas he says, an unhealthy soul is like a fly that passes over fields of beautiful flowers but will notice and be attracted to just a little rotten flesh. Isn't that wonderful? And I think that's our job, you and me, is to be obviously like the bee and not like the fly, but to be like the bee. And he said that's what talking to this guy was like. You know, you'd come in, you'd be aware, people have told me all my faults and blah, 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 and I can see them myself and I have a go at myself. But you'd come in and talk to this person and he would find the one thing in you and draw that out. And like Jesus' parable where there's that farmer and he wants to chop down the tree because it's not bearing fruit. And the gardener, who's like Jesus, says, just wait. Give me one more year. Let me dig around it, put in some fertilizer, and then we'll see if it bears fruit. I desire mercy, compassion, not sacrifice. And so he does that, you know. That's like Jesus. Just wait. There's something beautiful. I can see a beautiful thing in you. Let me just dig around that. Let me put in some fertilizer. Let me highlight that. Let me, like the bee, fly over all the rubbish and land on that one good, beautiful thing that I've spotted in you. And talking to that guy was like that. He would just draw that out of people. And you'd feel, he said, coming away from talking to him, like you'd been lifted up, like you were starting to open up a bit, maybe blossom a little bit. But you just felt like, ooh, you know? I think he said, you felt like a prince or a princess, you know, in the kingdom. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was the effect that we had on people? If we could be less like the fly, which just goes straight for the crap, and more like the bee that searches out that beauty and that isn't judging, that isn't being hasty. There's a time for that, and it's not now, and it's not us that's going to do it. But right now, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Is that all right? Okay, well, I really do want to do, and I just love it when you do see something in someone. Just again and again, that is what's going to unlock. That's the seed falling. When we do that, when we speak into someone's life because we see the flower, that's the seed falling on good soil that can bear fruit 100 times, 30 times, 60 times. So, yeah. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Forgive us our judgments. Forgive us that we walk around with big planks in our eyes and try and take out specks in other people's. Lord, forgive me. I'm so quick to weed, and I pray that you'd forgive me for that. And we ask for eyes of the kingdom, your eyes, Jesus, your eyes of compassion. In your mercy, help us in our hearts to have your heart of compassion. Help us in your mercy to have your spirit that just spots, like that bee, the good thing in someone and is able to dig around it, fertilize it, to see it grow, to see it flourish, to speak good words into that person's heart and know that they're falling on good soil there. Jesus, have mercy on us. We want to be like that. We want to see the people around us flourish and grow for your kingdom. So in your mercy, give us grace to be part of your sowing and reaping. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can stand if you'd like.